Blog Talk Radio.
Greetings, family, and welcome to the Us Lifting Us Economic Development Cooperative presentation. I'm your host, Brother DJ, and I'm joined by our fellow board member, Sister Nanana. Greetings, Sister Nanana. How you doing this evening?
I am doing quite well, Brother DJ, doing well. Thank you, and I'm pleased to have the opportunity to participate with you on the call this evening.
Yes, likewise. It's a pleasure for me as well. And again, greetings to the family and everyone who has already called in to our call-in number. And for those of you who are listening in online all around the world, welcome to our broadcast this evening. For those of you who want to be a part of our conversation, you can give us a call at 929-477-2789. Again, that's 929-477-2789. And again, peace to the family. This will be a very in-depth conversation. I'll be hosting the call this evening. And essentially, I'll be interviewing Sister Nanana, and asking her a series of questions about Us Lifting Us in an effort to really inform and educate all of you who may not yet be members, but if you are, you know, you stand to gain something from this conversation as well, because we always say when it comes to cooperatives, family-centered economics, it's impossible for us to know too much, especially the position that we are in as African people in the United States. And so, again, this will be about a two-hour conversation. And feel free to ask questions, give feedback, and provide comments if you need to. And, again, for those of you who have called in, if you want to be a part of the conversation, you can press the number one on your phone, press the number one on your keypad, and it will flag your number and will open up your line to allow you an opportunity to ask a question or give a comment. Again, for those of you who may have a question for either myself or our guest, feel free to press the number one on your keypad. And it'll flag your number and we'll open up your line to allow you an opportunity to ask a question or give a comment. Did you have anything you wanted to add, Sister Nanana, before we get started?
I would just like to say, first of all, thank you, Brother DJ, for all of your energy and your knowledge and expertise that you'll be adding to the call this evening. I truly appreciate having the opportunity to be a part of the call that you're hosting this evening. And I am definitely encouraging those in the listening audience to please dial in and participate, to share your thoughts and ideas. We are really interested in hearing from you and in knowing what you are experiencing in the realm of cooperative economics, knowing what you'd like to see happen, knowing what you've seen happen, what you'd like to see happen different, better, and so on and so forth, and also hearing about your experience with ULU thus far. And for those of you who have not yet become a part of ULU, we'd like to hear from you. Us Lifting Us wants to know how it is doing in terms of providing you with the information that you need to make that very important decision. We do have the Us Lifting Us website, which is usliftingus.com. That's usliftingus.com. And we also have a number that you can call into at any point in time. And even though you won't receive a live answer, there will be someone, the recorded message will be checked by someone in very short order, and your call will be returned. So that number is 404-592-2780. That's 404-592-2780. And that is directly to Us Lifting Us. And your call will be returned by one of the Us Lifting Us board members to answer your question. So we'd love to hear from you. And thank you, Brother DJ, for allowing me the opportunity to share that information.
Oh, no problem. Give thanks. And so we'll go ahead and begin our conversation at this time, family. And so, Sister Nanana, you've been serving on the board now for ULU, as we affectionately refer to it, for several years now. Give us a brief summary, so to speak, of how you got involved in ULU, not initially, obviously, from the standpoint of a board member, but how did you first hear about ULU, and how did it resonate with you enough for you to reach out and establish, you know, a relationship with the organization?
Well, thank you for the opportunity to answer that question and to share what my personal experience has been in terms of connecting with ULU. And actually, I came across Us Lifting Us Economic Development Co-op when I was pretty much just kind of surfing on the internet looking for information concerning African and African American art and other types of organizations that I was interested in, and Us Lifting Us came up on the screen in one of the searches that I was doing, and I thought, let me take a closer look at this. So I did follow the link to the website, and I was immediately very much drawn into the information that was provided on the website about the whole concept of cooperative economics, of family economics, the whole concept of Ujamaa and what that truly means. And I was very pleased to see that there was a truly concrete plan and process that Us Lifting Us Economic Development Co-op had developed that would bring economic control to our community. It looked very solid to me, and so I continued to pursue at that point in time after discovering the website and looking at all that was offered there.
And thank you for that. You know, you share a similar story of many of our current members. You know, folks are just kind of going through Google and looking maybe on YouTube and things like that and coming across a flyer or maybe a video that piques their interest and really resonates with their spirit. One of the things that we oftentimes hear from people who initially come in contact with ULU, they usually comment saying that this is what I've been looking for a long time, but I never knew that there was, you know, Africans in America actually working, you know, within this capacity to really change the power dynamic economically for our people. And so we definitely appreciate you. We definitely appreciate you sharing that. And of course, you know, you hail from the great state of Colorado, and that's a place where we don't have a lot of ULU members, so to speak, but you've been, you know, a great representative of ULU in that particular part of the country. But one of the other questions I wanted to ask you, when you talk to people about Us Lifting Us in your community, how does it usually go over with them, you know, in terms of changing the paradigm economically for our people?
That's an excellent question as well. And I would suspect that the way people react in Denver, Colorado is probably very similar, I think, to some of the reactions, not only nationwide, but globally, because Us Lifting Us is a global organization. And usually the first reaction that I get from people is kind of, because the whole concept of cooperative economics is one that is really very foreign to many of us. We have been so steeped in the vat, so to speak, of capitalism that to think in terms of another type of economic process that, in fact, can be very viable and beneficial to individuals and to an entire community is something that we cannot perceive of. So it takes a little thought process for us to understand that significant economic advancement indeed is possible, separate and apart from what we might know as entrepreneurship and business ownership by single individuals. We have been trained and taught to think that the way to become economically sound and viable is one of two things. Either you start your own business, which means you're a single entrepreneur, or you have employment with a corporate organization or a corporate firm that provides you with a high level of income, and that those are the only choices. So the whole Us Lifting Us Cooperative Economic Empowerment Plan is one that I have found that it generally takes a little bit of time for people to truly start to digest, because for so many of them, it is their first exposure. So when I approach people, I try to keep in mind that this may be the very first time that they're ever hearing about anything like this. And so for them, it sounds very foreign, and there's some doubt that it could, in fact, be viable and be possible. Now, there's a small number of people. What I'm finding is that there is a small number of people who will say, oh, yeah, you know, co-op economics. All right, yeah, I can understand that. And maybe they've heard about something similar to it. So they've had a little exposure already, or they've heard about co-ops in various arenas, whether it's the agricultural community or some other type of business community. So they've had an opportunity to build a little knowledge bank. But what I find, Brother DJ, is that for the vast majority of people, when I approach them, it's the first time they've heard of it. And so really delving into it, there's a little bit of a learning curve, let me put it that way. So I hope that answers your question.
Yes, it certainly does. And again, I'm sure that many of the people listening in can relate to that as well, because, you know, one of the things that I find, Sister Nana, is that it really depends on the person. Some people, when you initially mention the goal, mission, or, you know, objectives for ULU, they get it immediately. And then some people, you know, it takes a little bit of time for it to really sink in, so to speak, because they're just kind of hardwired to think that all we have the opportunity or the ability to do is to do business, you know, according to a capitalist construct. So when you begin to talk about, you know, a different economic system and one that truly, you know, serves our interests, you know, it's kind of a mixed thing with our people. Have you experienced that?
Yes, most definitely. That that it's difficult for some folks to perceive of anything outside of capitalism, and that what that says to me is that we have been so tied into this system that separates us from each other that it's difficult for us to perceive of a system that is literally designed and feeds on and grows and prospers on us being united with each other and us being committed to ensuring that growth and economic prosperity comes to every family and to all who are within a particular community that we define, and that is not defined for us by someone else. And the issue and the concern over, you know, does it really work? Can it really work? Is there evidence that it really works? And that's when, you know, I take the opportunity to share with them information about the Mondragon Economic Co-op, which is probably the single best example of cooperative economics anywhere on the globe that illustrates most definitely the concept of group or cooperative economics really does work, and that there are live, breathing people who are benefiting from it right now, and that we can make it work. Just one other thing I'd like to say about that, Brother DJ, is that tied in with that particular piece, what I'm finding and what I see often in situations when I speak with people is truly understanding that with traditional entrepreneurship and business ownership, that that there's something missing for us as people of Black African descent, that we in fact cannot maintain culture, that we cannot put forth solid plans to pass on to the next generations, that those are two major things that are missing, and also that we cannot, with those other means, identify how we want to have dollars spent and directed to care for our elders and for others in our community who cannot really care for themselves. So that's a big part of it as well, is being able to understand that there are some significant differences between what capitalism offers you and what cooperative economics offers you, and that you are in much more of a power and a decision-making position with co-op economics, because you control where those dollars go and how they're used. So just being able to draw some of the distinctions between the two models, I think, is very important.
And that's a great segue into my next question, because, of course, as you know, we have a large number of ULU members that are entrepreneurs, that are Black business owners. What is ULU's position as a cooperative as it relates to those Africans who may be in business for themselves, self-employed entrepreneurs? Is ULU opposed to owning, you know, for us as Black people owning our own businesses?
Not at all. No, ULU is not opposed to that at all. And what I would say is that ULU makes a definite effort to look for ways to be in partnership with and in concert with those who are entrepreneurs. So when an ULU business is established, one of the things that you will see happening is that there is a concerted effort to look within our community to see if there are product or service providers that we can do business with who may be single business owners and entrepreneurs. And so that is how we see ourselves connecting with the entrepreneurs. In other words, we want to take every single opportunity to make sure that the dollars that are go back and forth in any normal business dealing, that those dollars go back and forth between people who are from our Black African community. So I hope I'm explaining that in such a way that it's understandable, that we look for opportunities to deal with the entrepreneur and the single business owner for various products and services that an ULU economic co-op might need. And that's the major way that we see ourselves interacting with the entrepreneur.
Great point, and excellent way to put that. You know, when we look at the economic state of our people, we talk about the potential power in the vast resources that, you know, flow through our hand every year. What is ULU's position on you know, getting our fair share, so to speak, of those economic resources and using that to really solve the problems of African people in America?
Well, I'm going to interpret that question in a way that it makes sense to me. Hopefully I'm not twisting it too much, but our position on getting our fair share of economic resources, ULU's position is that we have economic resources within the Black community. We simply have not pooled and directed those resources in a productive and in a forceful manner. So when people come into ULU and become a member of ULU, the next thing that we encourage them to do is to not just be a member, but to be a member owner or a member investor in ULU. In other words, to purchase what might be referred to as units or shares in ULU. This is how we start to amass the dollars that we need in order to move forward and to start to develop an actual business venture. In Us Lifting Us Economic Development, we do not have a stance of borrowing money. We strongly feel that we have the money within our community that we need to do everything that we need to do. We simply have to pool that money and to direct it in a way that's beneficial. So the economic resource comes from the same place that the resource for the structure, the thoughts, the ideas, the ingenuity, and just the raw people power to make a business work, they all come from the same place, and that is from us within our communities. ULU takes a very strong stance that we are not a people of deficit, that we have everything that we need. And when we take that mindset, then we start to identify resources that in the past we either have not acknowledged that we have or that we have been directing in other areas. And that could either be economic resources or it could be resources in terms of thoughts, ideas, concepts, relationships, which are very important in business to build and develop relationships and things of that nature. So I hope I answered your question. I know I kind of changed it a little bit, but that's the way it struck me.
No, you did, and you did a great job. And so my follow-up to that, as we continue to build out, you know, the process of ULU, what are some of the things as we continue, because we're coming off of our ULU Power Summit a couple months ago, the things that we were charged with accomplishing over the next 12 months, give, you know, our, I would say, prospective members a sense of what we're working towards as ULU members for the next, I would say, 6 to 12 months, just so that they can get a glimpse of the type of work that we're currently involved in and what, you know, what the commitment level is for us as members.
Well, one of the major pieces of work that we are involved in right now has to do with the business that we have most recently opened, which is Cafe ULU. And our intent with Cafe ULU to position it in such a way so that it becomes stronger and stronger in our community, that it becomes known as a place where people can come to meet and greet and exchange ideas, to be a live working model of a very prosperous and well-run cooperative economic venture, where people can see that all of the employees are ULU members, and they can actually see a real working model where every single piece of how that business was started, how it's designed, how it continues on, the coffee beans that come in, the place that they're purchased from, how they are processed, anything and everything related to it, all of those dollars flow through and from communities of people of Black African descent. So Cafe ULU and making that run in a profitable and effective manner is one of the major things that we're working on. Another major initiative that's going to be coming up here in the very near future is that we will be having an effort put forth to increase our membership. We do need more people in Us Lifting Us, and so you will be seeing information on the website. You'll be hearing more on the Thursday night radio program, and you'll be hearing through some of our strategic partners about our efforts in increasing the membership in ULU, as well as for those who are members, encouraging them to take the step to make the investment in purchasing purchasing shares and units in ULU. So those are two major things that we will be working on coming up in the future, and that we have already started working on.
And thank you for that. And you know, again, family, just like Sister Nana said, the scale and scope of ULU is tremendous. And us accomplishing or opening the ULU Cafe, you know, is really like the feather in our cap, so to speak, to really have that brick and mortar building, you know, fully operational for us as members and the public to come and you know, have a cup of hot coffee and a Danish, and to be able to engage in conversations around business and politics and spirituality and what have you. It's really opened up an opportunity for us in terms of a model to really show the community the potential of family-centered economics. And so I just wanted to share that for those of you who may not be aware and who may, you know, actually live out of town, you know, out of the state, what we're currently doing. And so give us an indication, Sister Nana, moving forward, of some of the practical aspects of cooperative economics. Of course, ULU is a for-profit business. It's a for-profit LLC, limited liability company, but we operate according to cooperative principles. Why is that necessary for us to operate according to cooperative business principles?
That is absolutely vital, because if we're not doing that, then we are not a cooperative economic initiative. And so we have to operate according to those principles, because we know that's what makes everything tick. One of the major things that I judge is vitally important, and that is the creation of jobs. creation of jobs within our community is something that we have to step up and take responsibility for. In the past, oftentimes we have found ourselves in a situation where we were very dependent up on the capitalistic community to provide us with jobs. But part of the cooperative focus, and we state this in our 10-point appeal and plan, part of the cooperative focus on opening and operating businesses within local communities is to provide, to create new jobs. So that's a major piece. The other thing is identifying and then providing needed goods and services within our community. In other words, looking at ourselves and saying, okay, what do we need? Not what somebody tells us that we need from outside of our community, but let us identify what our needs are for goods and services, and then figuring out how we provide those goods and services. That's a basic foundational piece in cooperative economics. And then to yielding a fair profit. That's major. That the profit that comes out of any ULU cooperative venture, that profit is shared with all of those who have contributed to the success of that business. So the fair profit is not something that is siphoned off by the people at the top. They are not in a position, as with the capitalistic model, where their salaries can be several hundred percent more than the people who work at making, actually turning the crank to make the business work, that we all share equitably in the profit. So that's a major piece. And that there is sharing in the decision making. We very firmly stand on each and every participant, each and every member owner in ULU gets one vote. So we do encourage the purchase of shares, because that's how you increase the amount of the fair profit that you would be able to take advantage of. But regardless of the number of shares, when it comes time to make decisions about what's happening with the business, what will be done, what will not be done, what changes will be made, so on and so forth, each and every person gets only one vote. And that's central and focal to cooperative economics as well. So I hope I've identified at least a few major pieces there of cooperative economics that ULU really does not only profess, but actually practices. And you can see that in Cafe ULU, that we are actually practicing what we preach.
Yes, most definitely. We've got a caller holding in the queue, so we're going to go ahead and take this question. Caller 5103, your line is open. Welcome to the broadcast.
Hey, how you doing, Brother DJ and Sister Nanana, correct?
Yes, correct.
Yes.
Greetings. How you doing? This is Brother Sean from New York. I hope you guys can hear me fine.
Yes, you're clear.
Okay. Okay, great. Okay, cool. Well, I'm just listening to the conversation. The sister made some great points. You know, I'm from New York, and I was wondering kind of like, how can I start, you know, organizing a few people and kind of, you know, maybe setting up like maybe a group of us can start, you know, trying to set something up here, because in New York City is, you know, a lot of opportunities for business, I live in a community majority black and, you know, Hispanics, and we don't own any business. And the Arabs and, you know, other ethnic groups own majority of business, and they just racking the money with corner stores and discount stores and, you know, things of that nature. So, you know, this is what led me to you guys in Ulu, because I really believe we need to own our community, you know.
Mm-hmm. Brother DJ, would you like to answer that question?
Yeah, and I appreciate you asking that question, brother. There are ample opportunities for you to not only get involved in New York, you know, but get involved in several other aspects of Ulu. But what I would say is connect with us, give us a call or shoot us an email, and we can certainly give you some guidance on how to create, you know, a small group of dedicated members in the New York area to bring awareness of the need for us to, you know, be a part of Us Lifting Us Economic Development Cooperative, you know, and certainly give you as many of the powerful talking points as you would need to be able to clearly articulate the goals, the visions, and mission of Ulu in an effort, you know, to form what I tend to refer to as those clusters, so to speak, of members in various cities and states that, you know, that bring awareness to what it is that we're doing within an economic formation. Did you have anything you wanted to add, Sister Nana?
Yes, thank you, Brother DJ. What I would add to that is to please call us at 404-592-2780. That's 404-592-2780. Leave a detailed message with your name and your phone number, what it is that you're calling about, and your call will be returned. We do very much want to assist those who are truly serious about moving forward with cooperative economics. We do want to assist that to happen, and you will get a call back, and we can start to dialogue about what that would look like in your community. Not only that, we can go through our current membership list and see if we have others who are members of Ulu already who might be in your area, and start to connect you all so that you can come together and start to share information and to continue to educate yourselves in the cooperative economics. I'm sorry, you had a comment that you were
I said no question. The reason I was bringing that up, because in New York, we're about to have several festivals. I think it's the Curl Festival and the International African Art Festival. And I usually go every year and I celebrate. And the International Art Festival is usually a 3-day event, and there's thousands of people there. So I was thinking maybe this year, you know, I've been an Ulu member for 2 years now, or a year and a half, I think, and I'm still putting little contributions together to own my $1,000 unit. But I'm thinking about printing out maybe some flyers or something and hand them out in that event, because 2 days ago I was on the subway, and I saw a guy with a little beads on his neck, and we started talking, and I was trying to, you know, articulate to him, explain to him what I was a part of. I didn't have a business card. You know, I didn't have something to kind of tangible to put into his hand where he could feel like, is, you know, it's something legit. But, you know, because a lot of people want to get involved and active in the community, and I feel like economics and cooperatives specifically, it's right on. So I would like to just some information so I can go out, hand some flyers out, maybe, you know, when we have our festival, because that's how I learned about you guys. When y'all went down to the Million Man March and y'all did interviews with Sidenetta TV, and that's what brought me to Ulu. So, you know, that's all.
And we can help you with all of that. We do have business cards that are available for the general membership. And we can certainly assist you with what a format for a flyer might look like as well. So we will look forward to receiving your call and
you definitely will get it.
You.
No problem.
Right.
Thank you guys. You definitely
so
will get it. You guys take care. I'll keep on listening.
All right.
Okay. Thank you, good brother.
All
Okay. And again, definitely appreciate that caller. Did you have anything you wanted to add, Sister Nana, to the brother's comments?
Not so much to add to his comment, but I just want to express my own personal feeling and response, and that is one of excitement. And, I'm just always encouraged with those types of comments and with that type of energy coming forth when people step up and say, hey, I want to help make this happen. You know,
right.
I see the benefit of it. You have to be able to see the future, the long range plan, and then to want to be a part of helping to bring that about. So I truly appreciate that. Yeah,
definitely. And the brother does have the right type of energy that we're always, looking to partner with, that, those that are that take the initiative and that are proactive and doing, the small things that they can do. Like you said, the brother would just, offering to hand out flyers on a train and, just talk to people about ULU, and the need for us to control our own economics. These are the types of things in terms of pollination within community that we have to be about, the boots on the ground, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
So again,
yes. Mm-hmm.
So again, brother, thank you for the call, and your comments. We're going to go ahead and move right along. But again, in terms of the structural aspects of ULU, Sister Nana, give us a sense. And again, for those who may be listening in for the first time who have not yet joined ULU. Family-centered economics is a term that, many people may just be hearing for the first time. Give us, in your opinion, how does family-centered economics resonate with you?
The concept of family-centered economics is one that for me personally resonates in many ways, because the first thing that comes to mind for me is the maintenance and the continuation of the family, and giving recognition and credence to the fact that economics has to be a part of that. That there needs to be a way to provide for whatever the needs of the family might be, and also to continue to pass on to future generations the ability to literally take care of oneself. So, boy, there's just so much there. In the concept of a family-centered economics is one that is very specific to cooperative economics, that you will not see that particular concept emphasized at all in the capitalistic arena. What you will see is that the emphasis is on individualism, to do and to achieve as a single person, not to do and to achieve as a group or as a whole, and certainly not to share in achievement. And not to share in success. So it's a very different concept. It's also a concept that indicates that there's a certain amount of recognition of being a member of a family and of a community, and with that recognition, there comes responsibility to the community and to the family, responsibility to make sure that that community and that family continues to have their needs met and to prosper. Whereas in capitalism, there as a matter of fact, you get rewarded if you don't identify with your community. You get rewarded the more you identify as a standalone versus identifying with a total family. So those are the things that stand out for me. And, you know, I'd like to hear your take on that, Brother DJ, because I think maybe there are some pieces of that stand out for you that perhaps I haven't covered in my response.
And I appreciate you, you know, allowing me an opportunity to follow up. You know, I look at family-centered economics in terms of what it means is, you know, family as the primary source of power for any nation. You know, strong nations start with strong individuals and certainly strong families. And so when we say family-centered economics within the ULU framework, what that means to me is that an entire family being a part of an economic system that serves and meets the needs of every individual within the family. And so I look at it as you know, almost like insurance, where we talk about that social safety net to make sure no family and no individual members of a family fall through the cracks, so to speak, and get caught up in some of the things that we tend to see happen within our communities, especially when there's an absence of sufficient economic resources. And so this is a practical way for us to really build power on a very root level, on a very foundational level, but it's real and it's tangible, and it you know, holds a not only as a concept, but as an operational force, so much potential within our race family. And so, but the other thing is, families connected. So it's not just the nuclear family, it's thousands of families and eventually millions of families connected within the framework of cooperative economics, engaged in business together, and all of those types of things, cross-pollination of ideas, socializing together, involved in, you know, maybe, you know, rituals and ceremonies and things like that. And so all of that is a part of the family-centered economics, that social, that entire social apparatus. And so that's really what ULU is introducing back into the minds of our people, a new way for us to see ourselves and for us to do business with each other. And you know, I couldn't be more pleased to be a part of this new idea, so to speak, or the reawakening of a new thing in being at the forefront of a new conversation for Black people. Anything you want to add to that, Sister Nanana? Because we do have another caller holding.
Yes, I can see that, and I'll just add one thing, and by all means, let's allow that caller to speak. The one thing that triggered for me, Brother DJ, as you were talking, is that so much has been done to us to position us in such a way that we would not identify with our quote-unquote race as being our family. And I know there's another whole argument around race being a made-up concept, so on and so forth. However, for me, looking at this from a real reality standpoint, my race is my family. And I believe that ULU definitely embraces that and reflects that our race is our family. So that would be the only thing I have to add, and perhaps we can go ahead and let this next caller make their comment or ask their question.
Yeah, yes, we've got 1816. 1816. Your line is open. Welcome to the broadcast.
Okay. Well, greetings, Brother DJ, Sister Nanana. This is Ikena calling from the Cafe Ulu family member. And so I was listening to the comments about, you know, the our whole aspect of being family-centered economics, and it just reminded me to share with you some of the ways that we are seeing that implemented at Cafe Ulu. You know, we have the conversation corners, of course, right? For the DJ, you just brought in a wonderful conversation corner for us a few weeks ago. And in the coming weeks, well, let me back up and say this. One of the things I'm very proud of that we're doing at Cafe Ulu is giving a platform for other businesses, our vendors, our business suppliers, who are also examples of us lifting us to come in with their products. And so we're going to feature two of them that are very much just excellent examples of the family-centered economics. That's Brother Novak Young. He has the Ambrosia Vitality Juice that we sell, and also Brother DeAndre, who has the Symphony Chips. That's the Black-owned potato chips company. And so both of these men, their businesses, their business model involves their entire family. You know, their children, their queens, their wives, all of them are involved in making their business successful, and now their products are part of Cafe Ulu. So they're going to come together and do one of our Cafe Ulu conversation corners to talk about that. You know, how do you operate your business as a family unit involving your children, so they're understanding entrepreneurship and they're understanding the co-op model. So I'm really excited about that, and just wanted to share that it's now beyond our theory and talking about it that we have many examples of how we are seeing it manifest through Cafe Ulu, through Ulu, and through the various partners that are coming in. And I'm checking to see, because we actually set the date for that already. I know it's in June. And so while we're talking, you know, if you have any questions, I can look up the date for that particular presentation.
Okay, yeah, please do. And while you're looking for that, we'll continue on with the conversation. Sister Nanana, was there anything you wanted to add to Mama Akina's a comment?
The first thing I'd like to say is that I'm so pleased to have Mama Akina participating and calling in and giving us that information, and that it is certainly very just not only heartwarming, but right on target to hear about the opportunity that's being staged and provided at Cafe Ulu to have these business owners who we are in partnership with in terms of them providing products and services at Cafe Ulu to give them an opportunity to come in and to share how their businesses are ran, tell more about their products, and to really give, once again, real-life examples of how this is done from a family perspective and how the whole family participates in the actual operation of the business. You know, the more real-life examples we have, I think the more that we give a license to other people that they can go ahead and do the same thing. So I'm real pleased to hear that that's happening.
It is. And the date for that presentation is Tuesday, June the 19th, and that was a special date that was selected because, as we know, that is Juneteenth, you know, so one of our own Emancipation Days, and following Father's Day And so these two men being wonderful, wonderful examples of black fatherhood and of economic freedom for their families. So we're looking forward to that presentation again Tuesday, June the 19th at Cafe Ulu, and that is our vendors who are examples of family-centered economics.
Thank you, Mama Akina. I wanted to say that we certainly within the Ulu family appreciate all that you do, not only in the cafe, but also within the realm of social media. Mama Akina is our primary point person for making sure all of the information relative to, you know, upcoming events within the cafe, and even outside of the cafe, just within the Ulu network, gets properly broadcast through social media so that our members and you know, the African community worldwide is aware of what we're doing. So definitely appreciate your energy, your enthusiasm, and your commitment to this collective process. And so again, Sister Nanana, we're going to continue our conversation. But before we do, I want to go ahead and give the call-in number again, and it's 929-477-2789. Again, that's 929-477-2789. And at any time you have a question for either myself or Sister Nanana, feel free to press the number 1 on your phone, press the number 1 on your keypad, and we'll see your number highlighted, and we'll open up your line to allow you an opportunity to ask a question or give a comment. Again, family, if you have a question for us, press the number 1, and we'll open up your line to allow you an opportunity to do so. And so, again, Sister Nanana, as we continue, you know, give us a sense of the grand vision, so to speak, for us lifting us. Of course, we have the coffee shop on the ground in full operation. But what are some of the other things as we move forward with this collective economic formation that we're intending to do to really add value and add wealth to us as an organization, and of course for us as members and for generations to come?
Well, thank you for that question, Brother DJ. That provides an opportunity to really bring to light something that I think is vitally important when we talk about the vision, and we talk about how broad Ulu is. I think it's important that we acknowledge and we recognize that Ulu is a global organization. It is indeed a global organization. And so a major piece of what we're talking about is that we are talking about having trade, industry, commerce, doing business with people of Black African descent throughout the diaspora, all around the globe. And the way we start doing that is that we have to start first with membership. And currently, right now, we have members in many places throughout the globe. As you know, Brother DJ, one of our board members who is currently living in Ireland is actually from Senegal. We have members in Bermuda. We have members in Haiti. We have members in Canada, in London. We have members in Mexico. We have members all around the globe. And so where we have membership, we have the opportunity to amass enough interest in a collective manner that we can, in that particular geographic area, start with the basics of identifying what are the needed goods and services in that community, and then based on understanding what those needed goods and services are, then to go about building businesses, cooperative economic businesses in those communities. We have no limitations. We are looking at involvement in the area of alternative energy, in the area of agriculture. Those are two major arenas that we're looking into right now, and certainly we will be continuing to develop our business initiatives with additional networking Cafe Ulus throughout not only the continental U.S., but in other places that it might be appropriate. We are also looking at businesses that might be ventures in the area of construction, particularly of building residential homes. We need to be able to provide homes for ourselves and to look at alternative types of building materials that would be used to build those homes. So they don't have to be structured out of the traditional wood and concrete. They can be structured out of other organic materials. And so we're looking at how we can partner with people that would be able to provide those new type of organic materials for us. Those are all industries that we're looking at. We do have a business development group that researches and provides information to the board on many of these ideas. So we are definitely moving forward in Ulu. We are not sitting still. And as I said before, we're looking at developing Ulu and working towards the reality of Ulu being a worldwide and a global economic venture, and a very successful one. I hope that addresses your question, Brother DJ.
Yes, and again, great job. And going back to, you know, how we started the conversation, we touched on some of the, I would say, wide-ranging things. But what is your assessment of the state of the political climate as it relates to, you know, people of African descent in this country? Of course, you know, we know what we have in the White House, so to speak. But how does, you know, the policies within this country impact the lives of African people? And give us how Ulu, in a very practical way, fits not fits into that, but offers something as an alternative for us to be involved in that can actually help us.
Well, that's a big one right there, especially when you talk about the current political environment and how we're being affected by that. I don't think it's any secret to anyone that we have a political environment now, and also that we have been involved in a political environment in the past that has actually sanctioned ill treatment of people of Black African descent. And, you know, we see going forward and currently the constant racial profiling that occurs. I mean, we've had many recent incidences of that you know, the incident at the Starbucks coffee in Philadelphia, the incident that occurred at the Nordstrom's Rack in Missouri, the constant ill treatment by what are supposed to be those who serve and protect the police, most recently with the 65-year-old grandmother in Georgia who was actually pulled out of a vehicle and treated very badly. So, you know, there's just no doubt that the environment that we are in is one that sanctions our ill treatment. And looking at that, you know, my perspective on that is, how does Ulu make a dent in this type of a situation? It's my perception, it's my perspective that our perceived economic status, let me back up a little bit. We live in a nation that does not honor and treat people in a respectful manner simply because you are a human being or simply because it is your natural or your God-given right to have fair treatment. We live in an environment and in a country that meters out and measures out treatment in all arenas based on your economic status. Based on your economic status. And so, you know, given that particular lens to look through, what we can do and what Ulu has to offer is a way for us as people of Black African descent to not only command safety and respect for our communities, but to actually be able to demand it and to provide it for ourselves so that we don't have to entrust that to other individuals who really don't care whether or not we are cared for at all, let alone in an appropriate manner. So when you have a certain amount of economic stability, then you can take care of yourself. You can provide your own safety, and you can have more of an impact on the political environment because you have the finances and you can network and build the relationships in the community whereby you know, just to put it plainly and flatly, you can direct and pretty much buy the attention of the politicians that you need to have to ensure that your community, that the members of your community are treated in a certain way. So just to put it in a nutshell, Ulu provides us with an opportunity to become economically solvent, and with that economic stability comes the ability to be safe, to be protected, and to have our needs met. So that would be my response, Brother DJ. You may see some things differently around that.
No, I agree. And I would just simply add, you know, as we continue to build out the various components of Ulu, of course, you know, things begin to come clearer, become clearer, or you know, in terms of not just the conceptual and theoretical frameworks of Ulu, but really getting to the nuts and bolts of what it is that we can do to really uplift our people, not only in the United States, but around the world. But one of the things that really offers a tremendous amount of promise is the number of Ulu members we have outside of the continental United States. The international relationships that we've established. Give us, give the people an indication, Sister Nana, of where we have various members outside of the continental United States. Give them a sense of the broad scope and scale of ULU at this time.
Well, we have members all around the globe. On the motherland, we have members in Nigeria, in Ghana, in places on the Ivory Coast, places in South Africa. We have members in Bermuda, in Haiti. We have members in places in South America, in London, in Ireland, in Canada. We have members in all of those places. Those are the ones that are, come to mind for me right now. And our membership is continuing to grow because people are really starting to get this. They are really starting to understand that this is how you do it. This is the way you do it, and that ULU has a viable plan. Very workable.
Definitely.
Plan.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it does. And with that being said, as we begin to wind down the conversation, how does a prospective member become a member of ULU? What is the process?
The process would be to go to our website, usliftingus.com. Go to our website, usliftingus.com, and click on the tab that says apply to join, and follow the instructions there for, filling in name, address, phone number, so on and so forth, and submitting that. And you will then be contacted to continue the process of your membership. There is an initial $50 fee for a membership that can be done by check or money order or PayPal. The other thing that you can do is that you can call 404-592-2780, 404-592-2780, indicate your interest in joining, and you will receive a call back from a board member to make sure that you get the proper forms to fill out so that we can get your information started in the process to join ULU. And, of course, we do encourage you to not only join as a member, but to actually purchase a unit or a share. The shares are $1,000 a share. It doesn't have to be paid all at once. And you can determine how those payments look, whatever is convenient for you on a periodic basis. If in fact you're not going to purchase the share with $1,000 payment. So those are the two ways in which you can join ULU. Very easy, very simple.
Yes, and you mentioned, excuse me, that the annual membership fee is $50 a year. $50 mm-hmm. a year secures your membership. But what are some of the other requirements? Are there any other requirements for membership? Who is membership open to, and who is membership not open to?
Well, thank you for bringing up. That's an important part. Thank you. Membership is open to people of Black African descent. ULU is an organization that is committed to our community, to the community of people of Black African descent. And so that is who our membership is open to, only to those who are within that community.
Wonderful, wonderful. And so, again, family, membership is only open to people of Black African descent.
The membership fee is $50, paid annually. And like Sister Nana said, if you would like to take, you know, the next step, and we highly encourage you to do so in terms of securing a member unit, you can do so to secure a unit. It takes $1,000, but you don't have to pay it all at once. You can pay it incrementally and allow it to build. And once it reaches $1,000, you get issued what's called a Us Lifting Us Economic Development Cooperative Unit. And those units are transferable. They can be passed down to your family members, a spouse, grandchildren, or what have you. And so that's a part of that generational wealth building component that's so important for us as African people to be able to pass the wealth to the next generation so that they're not having to start from square one, you know, generation after generation after generation. Did you have anything you wanted to add to that, Sister Nana?
No, I think that just about says everything. And, you know, the whole idea around generational wealth and passing it on is something that we want to instill the importance of in our community, and to start making that a regular practice of something that we as a people do, that we do pass on wealth generationally. That's very important.
Yes, it is. It certainly is. And in closing, is there anything else you wanted to add, Sister Nana, for the listening audience? Anything that we didn't cover that you want to touch on before we sign off for the evening?
The last thing that I would share with our listening audience is that ULU, Us Lifting Us Economic Development Cooperative, ULU is the answer. ULU provides the way for us to have all of our needs met and to provide a stepping stone for future generations.
And with that being said, family, this is Brother DJ, again with Sister Nana. And please, for those of you who are not yet members, please go to our website, usliftingus.com, usliftingus.com. All of the information relative to how to become a member, how to secure your cooperative membership unit is there. And we highly encourage you to take out a membership today. It's been my pleasure to host the call and have you on as a guest, Sister Nana. Certainly looking forward to doing it again soon. In peace and power to the family. We'll be right back at you next week at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. 9 p.m. Eastern Time. And again, it's been a pleasure. Take care, family. Peace and blessings to you all.
Peace and love, and thank you, Brother DJ.
Work to be done, so let's do it all.